Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. I'll do it for you to sing.
Oh, I don't want to sing today. Sorry, I'm tired today.
So sad.
I know. I thought you were going to start talking about the Judas contract that we watched on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, no, we were going to talk, yeah, I was going to talk about that, though we were going to get a little bit, I feel like this show goes, like, in stages, like, we have a little warm-up thing in the beginning, and then we actually talk about something.
I know, I'm just so tired.
We mowed today.
We did, we mowed the lawn.
Mowed today, I built a grill.
You did.
From scratch.
Well, I mean, for pieces. You didn't build the pieces.
Yeah, that's true.
They came out of a box.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes out of a box, I can build it.
Sure. I vacuumed. I did all sorts of shit yesterday.
Yeah. And then Friday. We went to the Aurora.
Well, the Stanley Market.
Stanley Market in Aurora.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, if you're ever out in Denver, you know, you might want to, if you get a chance to make your way out to the Aurora Stanley Market in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth your time.
We had good fun.
Good food there.
I'd like to go back and just sit there and drink some beers because they have a nice little beer garden.
They do, yeah.
Which,
they have beers. They got ice cream. They got biscuits. They got
all sorts
meat
little
and cheese
shops.
Cones.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a good time.
It's a cool stuff. So, yes, I guess we do want to talk about that Judas contract.
Yes.
The cartoon that is, I want to say it came out last 2017.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it came out 2017. It was supposed to come out like years before, but then came out 2017. And
streaming on Hulu if you have it.
It's streaming on Hulu. Because actually, I think they have pretty much...
I think they have all the Justice League ones.
They have all the Justice League ones.
I mean, at least, and I don't know how much longer that's going to last, because I'm sure once the DC service...
Right.
That'll all go away.
Yeah, the reason why we're doing the book we're doing today, which we'll get into, and I'll save it for when we talk about the book, but they're really adding some cool stuff. Just some of the way the things look. I'm like,
what,
man,
to that DC service?
Yeah. Like, just stuff that I'm interested in.
I'd like to check it out. I will see.
So I have a question, actually.
Yes.
If I remember correctly or not, are they going to have all of the shows that they currently produce for the CW?
I don't know.
On their streaming?
That's a good question. I don't actually know. Because it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, they haven't really said. They've been like, Young Justice is going to have a season on there.
Yeah.
They're going to have some of the Batman, I think the first two seasons of the animated series.
Right.
Will be streaming on there. They're going to do that weird Titan show where Robin says, fuck Batman, because why the fuck not? They're
going to
do, I think, some other live action stuff. And
well, there's going to be, there's Doom Patrol, which we're going to talk, also I want to talk about. But, I'll just mention it now. Like, I saw some pictures of them filming it, and Brendan Fraser,
that's right,
plays Robot Man.
Yes,
and I saw some stuff of it, and it looks pretty good. The picture, at least for the pictures, I'm like, oh, it doesn't look, actually looks like he's Robot Man.
Cool.
You know, like I didn't dig deep into the pictures, but you know, there's a Negative Man. There's, you know, they're kind of, you know, and I think they're gonna get weird, you know, with the Grant Morrison stuff, which I rechecked that out at the library. I will read it.
Uh huh.
But yeah, there's that, and they're also doing a Swamp Thing.
Oh, nice.
Which,
that's cool.
That's always been in the show. I almost bought it a couple years ago, and I never did. The DVD set of the Swamp Thing show that aired on USA.
Uh-huh.
Like in the 90s, or late 80s, 90s, or whatever. I never got that. Yeah, no, I'm interested, you know, so I've seen some stuff, and, you know, it's, but regardless, we did watch the Judas Contract, and I had a chance to actually read the comic that it's based on, you know, the book, which is the Judas Contract, the Teen Titans, the Judas Contract, and you never got to read it.
No.
So there was some stuff that came up in it that I think you were kind of taken aback by.
Well, I think you had already told me.
I don't think I got into much of it.
About her and Slade fucking?
I don't think we talked about
it. You told me that.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Maybe I did. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I did.
You told me, you already told me that, because we read a book on this show after Tara's death, Teen Titans. and where they thought she was coming back.
But I didn't know. That was before I read the Judas contract. I just read the Judas contract like
oh, I know, but
a couple
I think
weeks
it was,
ago, like a month ago.
It's pretty common knowledge that they were fucking.
Didn't know that.
Really? Because it's a teenager and a really old man. It's one of those like real fucked up things that DC are just like, what are you doing, DC?
I had no knowledge of that sort of relationship and storyline in that book, in that story.
No,
until
I knew
actually
about that.
Oh, really? Oh, see, yeah. Okay, well then.
I wasn't taken aback by it. I just thought it was really gross. The way they handled it in the animated movie was they made it so she wanted him.
Well, that's how it is in the book, too.
No. But she wanted him, but he was like, no, not until we're ready to be together. Not yet. No, but in the actual book, they're fucking.
Yeah, no, there's,
In the animated one, it's like he's just playing her.
He's stringing her along.
He's stringing her along.
Yeah, which
that is not
does,
what happens in the book. It's disgusting because Slade is like a million and she's like seven. It's gross.
I just keep thinking of that image of him. Like, there's that picture of him that from the recent book where he's like looking at his pants. He's like, I'm young again.
Oh, right. That's right.
Because you've got a rejuvenated cock or something.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't follow.
No, I just. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. It's just like, if you were like, okay, let's say you're like 50, and all of a sudden you're 20 again, would you be like, oh my god, my dick, it is so...
Less spots?
I don't know. I mean, your balls are always going to be wrinkly, because they're balls.
Maybe they were tighter?
I guess. Maybe no pubic hair? I don't know. Like maybe no white pubic hair?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he was like, yo, I am no longer the gray fox. Or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I never understood that drawing. I'm just like, I don't know how dicks work, so I guess that's probably why I was like...
For some reason, I want to explain it, but I also don't want to explain it.
But you also can't explain it.
Why damn are you, damn you, DC, for bringing this up.
Why are we talking about this?
Well, because, you know, it's... But, I mean, okay, so getting back to the story.
Yeah.
I was happy to see certain things... adjusted and updated just based on the story, like because the Teen Titans in this movie consist of Damian Wayne, Damian Wayne,
Beast Boy,
Raven,
Starfire
is like the
she's kind of like the leader slash den mother, and then Nightwing
kind of comes back for a minute.
Yeah, Tara is there,
and Blue Beetle.
Right.
Jaime Reyes,
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
And and basically Blue Beetle is there to take over Cyborg's role.
Okay.
Which, and then they do things like the way that they, you know, Deathstroke catches him, that they kind of speed that up a little bit, but they do certain things that, you know, allow them to get caught.
Sure.
And it's actually really cool in the book, too. And I thought they did a really good job of it in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool. However, this is the one I need to talk about. But Beast Boy and him going on Kevin Smith's podcast.
That was, what the fuck?
So in the cartoon, in the comic, what happens is he basically Deathstroke has like, after, you know, Tara has gotten enough intel or whatever, now it's time for Slade to get all of the Titans together so the Hive can drain their bodies and shit like that. So they're doing this and basically... you know, he goes around and kind of uses certain gimmicks to do so. And, you know, and he does this the electric chair thing to Blue Beetle, which he does to Cyborg. And then he has an exploding present for Starfire. Spoiler alert, you know, if you don't always spoil, but I'm just going to talk about it.
It's been out.
It's a 30-year book. You know,
it's been out for a while.
The book's been out for 30 years. The cartoon's been out for at least a year, you know, if you want to go back and watch it. Robin basically just shows up and tries to fight him, and he does a bunch of fighting in the crowd, which you know, I thought was
I think what they did for Damian, which
oh no, it was different with Damian because Damian and like
because what they did here is they tied it into a previous movie,
right? That's
where
right.
Damian and Slade were going after each other, which. He is a child, and Slade is supposed to be, like, the best assassin ever. There's no way that he should ever be fighting him, being anywhere close to beating him.
Well, the thing, too, that's always frustrating about Damian is...
Everything.
is every... Well,
though I do like everybody in this movie just basically calls Damien a dick.
Which they're not wrong.
Right? No, they are not. They are all correct.
But Damien, the thing about him is that he feels like he's perpetually like 10 years old.
Yes.
But he's like this badass fucking assassin.
Yeah.
That, you know...
They're like, oh, he was trained by the League of Assassins. I'm like, he's still 10.
Yeah, I mean, if Slade in his old young dick...
Yeah.
They're going to come at you beating the, you know, punching you in the face and shit.
Yeah.
You know.
A grown ass man.
A grown ass man. I don't care how well you've been trained.
Yeah.
You know, a 10-year-old boy is probably going to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, unless if he.
No, because Slade also trained by the League of Assassins in this whole movie.
Right.
Before he was supposed to, you know, ascend to the throne or whatever. It's all stupid in that movie, but. You know, Deathstroke's been kicking ass for a very long period of time. He is one of the best in the world, right?
Yeah.
And fucking a 10-year-old takes him down? Give me a goddamn break.
Right.
That I hate.
Yeah.
That I don't like. But whatever. I'm just glad everybody called him a dick.
Real quick. I want to give a shout, R.I.P. and shout out to Miguel Ferrer, who... Miguel Ferreira? Is it Ferrer? Ferrer, yeah, the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the voice of Slade.
Slade.
He was the voice of Deathstroke in the movie, and it was his last role before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, but he did a really good job. I think it was there was some good voice acting in there. You know, like Christina Ricci was Terra. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was, yeah, she did a good job.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good to hear some power behind that stuff.
I will say my criticism before we get back to Beast Boy on Kevin Smith's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My one criticism of this movie, because I realized that the book had a lot more going on and we're trying to like condense it.
Oh, yeah. They definitely condensed it. Yeah.
They condensed it, but so much so that like the villain and the entire like subplot of like what Brother Blood was trying to do with Hive, that is nothing.
Yeah, it
just gets thrown away, and you're like, why are they doing it? It's like, because it's his plan, and you're like, well, what are they doing? Making him something, but really Slay.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
that, and that kind of just falls apart, and you're just like, well, okay, I guess they're putting him in this thing because immortality or something, but he's like, I've been waiting 900 years. I'm like, you've been trying to do this for 900 years?
Yeah.
That kind of just falls apart.
Yeah, they gloss over a lot of what goes on with Brother Blood and all that stuff, and basically they just try to do their best to focus on, you know, Deathstroke and Terra and all that stuff, which, I mean, that's a big part of the book is the betrayal that Terra, you know, enacts on the Titans.
Right.
But, yeah, there's a lot that gets swept under the rug, especially the stuff with Jericho.
Right.
Because
he shows up for like...
Well, he shows up at basically
30 seconds?
In the movie, you know, he shows up as like a, you know, as like a failed experiment in the beginning, like halfway through the movie. And then at the end of the movie, you know, in like a post-credits thing, it's like, he's alive.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, who the fuck was that?
Yeah, you're like, wait, who's that guy?
But like, you know, basically, you know, in the book, like, you get a lot more about Jericho and Slade's ex-wife, and you know, there's a lot, obviously, because obviously they had more to work with.
Sure, of course.
But it's pretty, yeah. They condense a lot, and it's
almost
kind of disappointment. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's almost like, why don't you just make it two parts?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, you do that with The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
You know,
make it two parts.
If it's, I mean, I think it's worth two parts. It's a great story.
Sure.
So, but the thing about in the comic, Beast Boy gets Susan Costanza'd. Or was it Susan?
Susan,
but I don't know, I forgot what her last name was.
Oh, yeah, but she dies because she licks the envelope.
Right. So basically, that's what happens to Beast Boy in the comic is that he's like, you know, he's like, hey, you got a bunch of like letters you got to sign for your fans and stuff, like their images. And he's like, okay, I'll look these envelopes. Oh no, I'm sick. And then like, you know, Slade's like, aha, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, basically he just does a George Costanza
kind of
thing. And, but in this movie,
he's going to a comic book convention.
Well, first things first is like, he is supposed.
There's a lot of Twitter.
There's a lot. Yeah. Cause it's, you know, it's where we've,
updated.
Currented it up. You know, there's a lot of Twitter and, you know, social media and shit going on. I think there's at one point he's supposed to do it.
Well, yeah, because he goes to that convention.
No, but isn't there something... Well, okay.
No, so he goes to the convention. because, you know, Starfire's like, look, you know, something's going on, but don't not do what you had already planned to do.
Yeah. I thought at some point he was going to do it, and then he couldn't do it.
No. So what happened was he's like, well, I'm going to do Kevin Smith's podcast at this convention. So he goes to the room where it's supposed to be. It's going to be a live podcast at a comic convention.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and nobody's there. So he just sits down at the panel, like up at the front, and he's like, oh, here's a big button that says do not press. So what am I going to do? I'm going to press it. So he presses it. He gets shot with like a poison arrow.
Well, like a fucking blue Yeti mic, USB mic opens up and reveals a bunch of darts
and shoots him. So then after, at the very, very end, he ends up actually going in studio with Kevin Smith to do Kevin Smith's podcast.
Okay, well, I'm assuming Kevin Smith in the DC universe, Kevin Smith is, he's an ambassador of some sort. I would assume you could treat him as like Joe Rogan, but for superheroes.
It just doesn't make sense.
In this universe, because...
No, because this is what doesn't make sense. He's still Kevin Smith, who's like all into these characters, at just as much as he is in real life.
Uh-huh.
But they're just like, so he's just really into superheroes.
Yeah, because obviously he's in the movie. He lives in reality where superheroes are real.
So Clerks still exists.
Yes.
Mallrats still exists.
I'm assuming, yes. We're going to assume all of his movies still exist.
Did he write that Superman script in this reality?
Sure. He also wrote...
Instead of a script, was it like an actual like interview that he like wrote for the New Yorker or like Hollywood Reporter or something?
Maybe so it's different, because like, I mean when they're real, you know, they're just biopics. I mean, or something.
That's well, yeah, I mean like maybe he was like gonna write an autobiography about Superman and it didn't work because somebody wanted to put a giant spider in it.
Well, John Peters was like, shout out to John Spider. And then Nick Cage was there and he was like, I am Kal-El. Yeah, no, there's...
So do you think like Nick Cage is like as obsessed with... I mean, like, he must exist too, right?
Nick Cage, if Superman is real, Nick Cage...
It's like a stalker.
Is like a stalk, yeah.
That's fucked up.
Nick Cage is like, he's probably bought, like, Superman... When Superman died, he probably bought his corpse, like Michael Jackson bought the Elephant Man's bones.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what
he's bankrupt.
That bankrupted him.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna buy Superman's body, that's got to be expensive.
Yeah, no, I think he probably paid out. He probably paid out the ass, but he was willing to pay for it because he did name his son after it.
I mean, to beat out Lex Luthor in that sort of auction.
Yes, I like this reality in the DC universe that Nick Cage bought Superman's remains. And then he came back to life, and then he was like, oh, man.
Lost all that money. My investment. I'm terrible with money.
My investment is bunk.
Terrible with money. I'm
terrible with money. I might as well go buy an island.
Wait, that doesn't refute that I am terrible with money. I just don't like this idea that, like, real people here live in the DCU. Like Regis lives in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Don Rickles lives in the DC Universe. I don't like it.
Kind of wish Don Rickles would have showed, you know, if he didn't, I think he already passed away by this point. Maybe they could have got Don Rickles in there and be like, hey, I'm here with the Newsboy Legion. They all look like monsters. Muhammad Ali, yeah. Ali would have been in there, you know. I mean, yeah, all the real people. Yeah,
no, I don't like it.
Well, there's a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of that in the comics, you know, where there's like...
But for some reason, just having Kevin Smith's actually doing a podcast in one of these movies, because it was his voice. There was something about it. I just was weird.
Well, also too, the thing that I wanted to point out that I thought was really mind-boggling as a podcast producer, as a professional podcast producer, a podcast man.
Yes, a podcast man.
What really fascinated me was Slade's ability to book a room during a convention with a panel. So basically how we were able to get Comic-Con. Let's say Comic-Con. We're doing a Kamikaze one.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if it's a smaller one, you could probably pull that off.
So he had to submit.
He had to submit.
Proposal.
So he had to submit a proposal. So his plan was a long-term plan. So he had to submit a proposal online to, let's say, Stanley's Kamikaze.
Sure.
Or whatever. LA Comic-Con or whatever the fuck it is. And then be like, wait for approval and be like, what do you want your panel to be? And it's going to be, I'm going to kill Beast Boy.
Right. Provide a description.
Provide a description. I have a microphone with guns that will shoot darts.
What equipment do you need?
Yes.
Yeah. What equipment? So you need your microphone with darts.
And then they'll be like, oh, who's gonna be your guest? And you just put some quotations. Very important. Kevin Smith and Beast Boy. And they're like, oh, that sounds great.
And then they put it in the program.
And
somehow he was able to guarantee no one else showed up to that room.
Yes. You'd be great.
Nobody was there because Beast Boy walked in. No one was there waiting for the panel to start. There was no tech guy there either. So there was nobody there.
There was
no
a microphone moderator. Set up and everything.
Everything was set up. There's no moderator.
Because those rooms, they heard people in and out of those rooms. Yeah. If you're a convention with your worth and salt, that's worth your weight in salt, you are busy as fuck.
But not only that, but sometimes you'll be like, oh, I really want to see the panel in room 406B. I got, half an hour to kill. I'm going to go slide in the back and sit there for a while and wait for it to start.
Yeah, sometimes you're just sitting there.
Because I'm tired of walking around this convention and carrying all this shit with me.
Yeah, sometimes you guys.
And there's nobody there.
Sometimes you guys sit through Jeff Johns talking to Gary Frank for an hour while your husband goes up and asks a question about
the Hulk wedding issue.
Rick Jones bachelor party issue.
Yep, which sometimes that happens.
To which your wife was terrified because you thought I was going to go up there and ask Jeff Johns about superhero genitalia.
I was a little worried. But really, if anybody's asking anybody, that's right, because you don't believe me that Superman had a dick. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, we know. Oh, I'm
glad you've come around to my way.
Well, we've seen his dick.
We have his baby dick, but yes.
Hey,
in two movies, by the way. Two.
Jesus
Christ. Why is there so much Superman baby dick? Can somebody tell me this? What is happening? Yeah. Why is that such an important thing to show me?
No, that was very impressed by Slade's wherewithal to book comic book convention podcasts, which is not an easy thing.
No.
Because, as our friends Vito and Juan of Comics and Comics have often talked about with us, booking Comic-Con and WonderCon and stuff like that, it's not as easy as it used to be.
No, it's hard.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't.
Right. What would have happened if they were like, we don't want, quote, Kevin Smith?
Yeah, Kevin Smith will be out of town. We know this. We asked him. He said no.
Yeah, he said no. So I'm not going to let you have your panel. So then what? What's Slade's plan B?
He's going to do a podcast in the local improv theater.
Sure.
Kevin Smith will be at the UCB East. Midtown Comics, guys. Come to Midtown Comics.
Basement of the Teen Titans building.
Ooh, Teen Titans Improv.
I hate that stupid building.
That building is dumb. I don't like it.
I understand when it was created, man, what a thing. But it's one of those things that maybe we should move on from.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely a thing that should not just be sitting there.
Yeah.
Like even the Justice League, there are things in space.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Because really, all you need is a good drone or 17.
Yeah. You need 17 drones.
You need exactly 17 drones.
You have 16 drones, you can't win.
You can't take out the Teen Titans Tower. 17 drones.
17 drones.
Well, that's a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, destroy your enemies with drones.
But I thought the movie was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fun.
There was some cool things that related to the comic. It did definitely was a lot of stuff truncated.
I don't like Tara. I'm glad she's not around.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
Yeah, she does. She dies. She just straight up
also,
just dies.
I mean, and it might have just been because we're putting so much of this book in, but her power was just moving Earth.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, she moves Earth. What's her deal?
Okay.
She's like, you see that rock over there? Move. I can make a cave. Or
boring.
I can make a rock snowman or whatever.
Yeah, boring. Don't like it.
Can she act? Do you think she can move the rock?
Well, that's a really good question.
Actually, that would have been a great thing is like all of a sudden.
She's trying to move the rock.
Like she's throwing things around, and all of a sudden you see Dwayne Johnson go, ah!
Either that or she's just like picking up rocks and they're flying, and then all of a sudden you just see the rock and he's not moving. And then he has some catchphrase and then you just move on.
Yeah, if Kevin Smith could be in this movie, why not Dwayne Johnson?
Where's the rock?
Where's the rock?
Right? And really, like, if Dwayne Johnson exists in this universe, can't you just call him and be like, help us?
And well, Dwayne Johnson would just show up. Yeah,
that's what I mean. He just shows up with a fucking chain gun like he's in Fast and the Furious, just mows everybody down. He's like, I saved the day. And then he goes like, I don't know, eats some chicken.
No, he eats cod.
I'm sure he eats chicken too, right?
Yeah, but he eats a lot more cod.
All right, then he goes, eat some cod.
Yeah.
He goes, you know.
I got to give a shout out to the Rock's intense cod diet. That was one of the big things when he was, you know, when everybody was like, time. How come the Rock's so big? And it's like he eats like 15 pounds of cod a day.
Oh, gross.
Or something. He eats a ridiculous amount of fish.
That's a lot. That's too much fish.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he doesn't get like mercury poisoning or something.
That's what I mean. Don't you think he eats chicken too?
I don't eat chicken. I mean, he eats other things. He eats cheat days.
That's true. That's when he eats all the cheat days
where he eats like 8,000 pancakes.
You know what? If I were the fucking Rock, I'd eat 8,000 pancakes too.
How can you though? I mean, there's days when like I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna have a big appetite. I'm gonna eat a bunch of stuff, and then I'm just tapping out. I mean, is it because he expends so much energy just being the Rock?
Well, I mean, sure, or why not? I don't know how it works to be the Rock.
I don't know.
I'm just assuming.
You should get him on the show.
Yeah, he's just waiting by the phone. He's not doing anything.
He might be. I mean, shit. If Beast Boy can be booked, why can't Dwayne Johnson be booked?
What if
Slade wanted to capture Dwayne Johnson?
I mean, maybe if we got in contact with Slade, he could book Dwayne Johnson on our podcast.
Slade is the best podcast producer of all time.
And he wasn't even trying.
He is just the best. That's what happened.
It was a get when Mark Maron got Obama. No.
I'll tell you, like when
Slade's better.
When the government pumped him full of drugs, one of the side effects was he became a primo podcast producer. He knows how to set up mics. He is a whiz at Pro Tools and Audition.
I mean, he did have to set up that mic.
Yeah, he did set up that mic. He knows how to book guests and make them happy. He knows how to play the game on iTunes.
Sure.
He is the champ.
Yeah.
So shout out to Slade, a.k.a. Deathstroke, a.k.a. the world's greatest podcast producer. We should be inviting him to Podcast Movement.
Sure.
Or whatever it is those yahoos do. We talked about that. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So with that out of the way, let's take our break and we'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Born and raised to make a kill, she was not given her own will. Her first hit left her feeling only disdain. She ran to Gotham's no man's land, learned from Barbara Gordon's hand. This starts the legacy of Cassandra Cain. Rising from the devastation of no man's land, a new warrior joined the Bat family. Daughter of David Cain and Lady Shiva, trained from birth to be the ultimate killer, but choosing instead to save lives. She's been Batgirl, Black Bat, and Orphan. She is Cassandra Cain. Join Mike Staley as he goes through every appearance of one of DC's most underrated characters in Silent Night, the Cassandra Cain podcast. On iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and at silentnight.podomatic.com.
All right, we're back here in our worst collection ever with our book for this week. It is Doom Patrol number 117 from February 1968. And we are using my Doom Patrol DC Archives Volume 5. Mm. I took the cover off because it's much easier to read a book like this. I hate those covers. I hate jackets on books.
I don't know. I love jackets on books.
I you know what? I think
you're weird.
I do not like jackets on books. I think, you know, I'm taking a stand.
I know. A lot of people don't. A lot of people do. I am pro jacket.
Because they always get in my way of reading a book, especially once I get partway through, you know, it's kind of just hanging there and it's like, it's in my, So I just take it off.
I don't understand how that happens.
And this, you know, particular issue is like halfway through, so.
I never have that problem.
I don't like it.
I never have that problem. I'm never, you know, worried about book jackets.
I don't mind.
I prefer them because I like to protect my book.
But it has the cover.
But that protects the cover.
Sure. So Doom Patrol number 117 is on the cover. We have the chief, Niles Calder, in his wheelchair, and he is terrified because there is a giant, presumably a vulture, coming for him. And the Doom Patrol, and so it says on the front here, the DP has flown, the chief is alone in the nest.
The DP, huh?
The DP.
They're calling themselves the DP all over this book.
Well, that's what they are. Doom Patrol. What else are you going to call them?
Doom Patrol.
Or what else are you going to call them for short?
Doom Patrol?
It's too much.
I mean, it's 1968.
1968. We didn't. The DP wasn't invented yet.
I'm sure DP was invented.
No, it wasn't.
100% it was invented.
No, it wasn't.
As soon as sex was invented, DP was not far behind. However, it wasn't a term back then that you could put into, like, you know, Pornhub and come up with all sorts of questionable shit.
We didn't have Pornhub, so it didn't exist.
It still existed. It's just
all we had was Playboy.
That was not in there. But I mean, like, seriously, they're like, it's just again, one of those of its time things.
Right. Waiting for so yeah, it says DP has flown, the chief is alone in the nest, and circling above, waiting for the kill, is the Black Vulture. See, I told you it was a vulture. Mm-hmm. And in the foreground or the background, the Doom Patrol, Robot Man, Negative
like,
Man, and Elastic Girl are like, yeah, fuck you. You wanted to run the whole show, Chief? Okay, the DP is finished. Ouch. And you're on your own.
DP's done.
DP's
somebody
done.
Somebody call cut.
Somebody get Ron Jeremy a soda. So, the Doom Patrol, the world's strangest heroes. That's right. They're weird. The Black Vulture is the name of the story. Uh-huh. And basically, we see what's going to happen later in the book, where the chief mm-hmm. is being attacked by a man in a purple, basically wearing like an entire bird skin.
He is basically like an NFL mascot.
Yes, yes, good
except
call.
Except instead of like wearing the full face, he's wearing like a baseball cap that's just a vulture's head.
Yeah.
And it's actually very upsetting. Because yeah. there's a beak, but below the beak is
a man.
Mouth.
Yeah.
And it just looks like a weird growth on this poor bird's chin.
Ooh, gross.
It's really upsetting, actually.
Gross.
Gross indeed.
Yeah, and
gross.
So, and he is the Black Vulture, but in reality, he is purple, and he has an orange beak and
yeah,
stuff like
and it starts out here where it's like, did you miss last issue? If so, here, cry all over this towel that says the New York Mets for some reason.
I don't understand this. What kind of, I mean, I'm assuming this is some sort of rib.
I'm
that,
sure.
Arnold Drake, the writer, put
yeah,
together
I mean,
here?
Yeah, I'd have to look at what happened in 1968 to the New York Mets. I'm assuming they lost.
Well, I think they were like the first, that was like their first year of existence.
And they were terrible.
Yeah, they
I'm
were.
Guessing.
Yeah.
So there's also this thing about Madam What's-Her-Face?
Madam Rogue.
Madam
Rouge?
Rogue. Who like,
Rogue.
Somebody was trying to like tell her to come over into the good side, and then I guess she's made of silly putty.
Madame Rouge, I think it was. Is it Rouge? Is that Rouge or Rogue? Rogue is Rouge.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rouge, Madame Rouge.
So she splits herself in two.
Well, so what happens is, okay, so what happens is the chief gimmicked a painting to beam shit into her head while she was sleeping. And Madame Rouge split.
She's made of silly putty.
She's made of, yeah, because she's elastic.
Gross.
Yeah.
So she's like Stretch Armstrong.
So she what happens is in the previous issue, she split her body. Yeah, like, you know, maybe.
Yeah. And then she
so there's
a good one and a bad one.
The good one and a bad one. And the good one is just a normal woman in a green jumpsuit in a lime green jumpsuit, but her bad version
is like pink.
Is a severely tanned woman.
No, she's like pink.
She's like Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah, she's verging on purple.
Brother. Yeah, but she's wearing happens to be wearing a darker green jumpsuit.
Yeah. So she vanquishes over evil, and then we have and thus good triumphed over evil. How unusual. And Madame Rouge left the Brotherhood, and then apparently there's a big machine called Great Brain.
Yes.
Which is just two boxes on what looks like a hoverboard with a basically, Terminator skull
yes.
on top of it.
And like, a real brain
and
inside.
And a real brain inside. So, like, I kind of wish the Great Brain would come back.
He's been around. Yeah, he's had better iterations of himself.
Is he still on this being pushed around by a monkey?
So the monkey is Monsieur? Is that how you say that?
Monsieur
Malat. Monsieur Malat is a sentient ape that...
There's a lot of fucking sentient apes in the DCU.
Oh, yeah.
Why are there so many sentient apes?
I don't know. Well, you know what we got to do? That reminds me. We got coming up. We should probably do that crazy ape book we have. Remember that? Where, like, it was just about all, like, it was from the 70s, and it's like, here's a bunch of fucking ape stories.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought that for you. I think I bought that for you for Christmas once.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to dig that out.
Let's read the Crazy Ape book.
Yeah. I think we've been holding on to that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, real quick, this is our first Doom Patrol in, like, 3 years.
Wow.
I know. That's something, like, I'll go back, and I'll be like, oh, how long has it been since we've done this? Done, like, this particular series. And we go, like, a long time between certain books.
Well, sometimes that's good.
Yeah, so sometimes it's good, because it's been a long time. And the last time we did one was from the 80s revival.
Mm.
So this is one of our original ones, which I am all on board for. Yes. So, but, yeah, Monsieur Malat, the monkey, the ape, the sentient ape, who eventually goes on to wear a beret. He does not wear a beret here.
I'm glad that's in his future.
Yeah, in the future he has a beret, but right now he's just a regular ape dude, and he's like pushing this helmet or this brain, and basically the brain's like, yeah, well, she's gone for now, but she'll turn heel again, so fuck off.
Yeah.
And so now we cut to
his sitting. What's his name again?
So the Niles Calder.
Okay, Niles Calder. This is like his sitting room, and he's hanging out with Madame Rouge, and she's sitting on the floor, and she's like, oh, I love sitting by this fire. So great. And he's like, yes, it's so great. And then, like, Robot Man, like, hops in, literally hops, because one of his legs has been ripped off in a battle.
Yes.
And he's missing an arm. And this dude does not give a fuck.
No.
He's like, go away. You're being ridiculous. He's hopping around. He's missing a leg. And he's like, go away, Robot Man.
No, he goes, hey. Go fix yourself.
Yeah.
He's like, there's a soldering iron in another room.
Yeah, because this guy is just really trying to bang this girl. He's like, let me tell you, DP stands for Doom Patrol, but it stands for something else. So
I kind of wish that's what he said.
So let's try to work my magic. I got a friend in the back.
What did I tell you when I started Doom Patrol? DP stands for something else. Rule number one. It's on there. It says, rule number one, DP stands for something else. Number two, don't ask what DP is.
It's like Fight Club.
It's like, yeah, Doom Patrol.
DP Club is like Fight Club.
Ooh, DP.
So he is just trying to bang this chick to the point where he's just like, go away. Like, he never heard of putting, like, a tie on the door to tell people to leave him alone.
Yeah.
So Robot Man, like, literally falls through a door because he's got one leg. And then...
So then...
this is when Negative Man comes in.
Well, Negative Man's... Or his negative being shows up, and they're like... And, Madame Rouge is like, what's that? It's like, oh, that's just Negative Man's...
Oh, yeah. He says he's coming to get a snack. And he's like, oh,
well, no, because what Negative Man does is Negative Man can release the negative being for only a minute.
Okay.
And so what the negative being is, you know, basically an extension that he can control. So he, you know, so he could be like, hey, go get me a spork.
Yeah.
You know, so that thing is so fast it gets him a spork. So so it's basically what he does, what they do in the spare time is that, you know, Larry, you know, the Negative Man is just sitting around being like, you know what, I'm hungry. Go get me a sandwich, me. Yeah. And then he just sends him, apparently.
Well, because it's trying to tell Niles something. And it just says, oh, he's trying to tell me something. He probably wants to tell me that we're out of ham. Sorry, N-Man, there's loads of salami.
We love the Doom Patrol loves the cured meats.
Oh, they do.
They are.
They're really into their fridge is fully stocked. It's like a deli.
It's like Boar's Head exploded.
It really is. I think that's where Boar's Head started.
Yeah, Boar's Head started.
They were like, you know, we're not getting anywhere in the superhero gig. Let's start a deli called Boar's Head.
Started because of.
And we're going to start selling cured meats.
Started because of some hardcore DP.
Well, I mean, you get hungry, I guess.
Yeah, you get hungry, you know. It's like.
And then.
Does DP wear you out? Get yourself.
Have some salami.
Have some ham.
Oh, wait.
So.
So that's when Negative Man, like, wanders in and he is just ripped up, too. Like, his whole costume.
Negative Man looks like he got hit by a fucking truck.
He does. He's like one of his. He's holding, like, favoring an arm. Again, this guy does not care. He's like, I was trapped underneath a lead something and they kept.
He has this big story about what happened to him.
He was fighting somebody and there was, like, a lead thing and they kept, like, trying to basically press him to death. Like they did to Giles Corey in Salem. Look that up if you don't know what that is. So he's like, yeah. He's like, and I sent my Negative Man because I found a slip, a flaw in the block. And what did I get for it? I got beans.
Oh, but he was looking for ham.
But apparently he was looking for beans because this guy doesn't give a shit. And he's like, whatever. I still don't care. Go away. He's like, see, you're self-reliant. You didn't need me. I mean, this guy can barely walk.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh.
Well, neither can Niles Calder.
Well, and neither can Robot Man because he's missing a leg. So, yeah. And then we have.
So now we cut to the Sinister Street to put Zoom Patrol members. Elastigirl is. So here's. Did you read the intro to this?
I did. I actually really loved this intro.
Later in the home of the fifth richest and angriest man in the world and his wife.
How can I become the angriest?
Also.
And like have people introduce me that way.
Also, I want you to know the four other angriest men in the DCU.
Oh, see, I took that he was only the fifth richest, but he was the angriest.
Oh, I thought he was the fifth richest and fifth angriest.
I would like to know how you rank angriest, because if so, I wouldn't mind being the fifth angriest.
How can I be the most angriest man? You know who I think would be the angriest man is this guy in an episode of God, I'm blanking on the show. CSI, who was like a guy. Oh, God, I forgot what he did, but like he beat up a bunch of people in like a casino, and then he went to get a steak, and then the police showed up and were like, "Hey, man, we're gonna take you alive," and he's like, "I'm so angry," and then he just died. And he looked like Greg Fitzsimmons, and it was fucking wild. That guy was super fucking angry, though.
And he just died.
He just died. He was eating a steak, and he was like, because they're going to take him. And he was like, and he fought the cops, and he died.
Like, did they kill him? Or
no, he just died of a heart attack. Because that's what Gil Grissom figured out. Is he was like, oh, how did this angry man die? He was the fifth. He was the most angriest man four ahead of Steve Dayton.
Yeah.
Here, so.
Yeah,
I
really like when our podcast becomes Sean Explains an Episode of CSI.
Yeah, I know. Why is this not a CSI podcast? Which really would just be a bunch of episodes of CSI that I randomly remember parts of. Not actual, like, plots, but just like, oh, I remember that part of CSI. Anyways, I got nothing else to talk about. CSI. I have, like, five CSI moments in my head.
Sean remembers CSI. That's
hey, I watched enough of it on Spike.
Yeah.
They would always show it after wrestling. Sometimes you had no choice.
Yeah.
You had no choice.
That's true.
Could not change the channel.
No, no, your remote was like,
you had to watch CSI.
If your remote was broken, what are you going to do? Get up?
Even if it wasn't broken, you had no choice. You had to watch it. You had to find out what happened. Why was that? Why did an angry man die? Anyways, so they're in bed.
Phone rings.
And we're in the 60s. It's separate beds.
Separate beds. And the phone rings. And she's like, oh, no, it's the Doom Patrol. I have to go. And he's like, don't help them call. I hate it that I have to check my wife out like a library book.
Yeah, Steve Dayton is not having it. So just for you know.
Does he die?
No, he doesn't. He goes and eats a steak and then he dies.
I mean, if he is the angriest man.
You know what? He might be. He's got to be careful.
Yeah.
Just so you know, so Rita was a model who was doing a photo shoot. And
something terrible happened to
her. And she got, like, near a bunch of volcanic gases and made her stretchy.
Yeah, I see that because, like, she kind of explains that.
Yeah. Well, that's every episode of this.
They all kind of explain what happened to them yeah. to give them powers.
That's pretty much how every issue of Doom Patrol feels like, is they go, you know what, if it wasn't for that volcano
yeah.
or whatever, or if it wasn't for that flight I took.
So she rushes in.
Well, real quick, I just want to point out, so Steve Dayton is a super inventor. He's basically like Bruce Wayne, but always angry.
That's Bruce Wayne.
Even angrier. Well, I don't know. Maybe it might not be the because Bruce Wayne is probably higher. If we're talking about legit lists, Bruce Wayne is probably higher in terms of wealth and anger.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and I bet Lex Luthor is up there too. So
yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think
that's
we're filling out this list. It's good.
We really are. How is Ted Kord on the anger level?
Ted's pretty chill.
Okay, so he's not anger, but he's probably
been introduced yet here. He doesn't count.
Oh,
he's still on over at Charlton or whatever. Or quality.
That poor guy.
Yeah. But no, so what happens is, so they're married, but they also adopted Beast Boy.
That's a mistake.
Yeah. This is what goes on in this world.
I mean, like, of all the kids you could adopt, doesn't Beast Boy already have parents?
They died.
Of course.
Or something happened.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Everyone's fucking parents are dead. Okay.
Well, here's the thing that's always confused me about Elastigirl.
Why her parents are dead? Because I'm sure they are.
Oh, no.
No.
No, but she...
Did they go through Crime Alley instead of Happiness Lane?
Yes. Elastigirl, it was a Olympic swimmer who became a model and an actress.
Right.
Right? And then she became Elastigirl.
Right. And she said that made her career over.
That ruined her Hollywood career.
But how?
That's what I've never understood, because apparently she all of a sudden started growing. Yeah, but she doesn't always grow.
Right. She can control it.
She can control growing her body.
Yes. Yeah,
so, like, she doesn't have to. She's not constantly huge. She's like, oh,
God. So why couldn't she still work?
I don't know. That's a thing. And she's still beautiful.
It's the 60s. She's married. She has to stay home now.
Well, I guess so. I mean, if anybody ruined her career, it was the fifth angriest man in the world.
Well, she's going to Betty Draper this shit.
Is she going to leave garbage in the field?
Yeah, she's going to leave
garbage. And they get lung cancer and date Glenn?
Oh, God. That was so upsetting. She's also going to shoot birds in somebody's backyard.
Oh, Betty Draper.
God, I hated Glenn.
Yeah, somebody just reminded me about that.
Why did you remind me about Glenn?
I don't know.
God damn it. I hated Glenn so much.
Somebody reminded me about that, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's right.
Glenn was the worst. I was like, why is this person even on this show? Like, if I was going to rank characters on Mad Men that I hate.
Ooh, this is a good list.
It is. Glenn, Harry, Pete.
Really? You're putting Harry above Pete?
Oh, yeah. I hate Harry way more than Pete.
But Pete's worse.
Yeah, but Pete knows he's worse. He knows he's terrible.
Interesting. I thought Pete was going before Harry.
No. Harry is one of those guys who is a fucking monster, but he thinks he's a nice person.
He's also quite useless.
Yes.
He's also very, like, he doesn't seem like he's very good at his job.
Yes. He's one of those guys who's like, I'm a nice guy. I'm really cool. No, you're not. You're a fucking monster and everybody hates you. So that's why he goes above Pete, because Pete's just a terrible human being, but Pete understands that he's a terrible human being and he's not trying to pass himself off as anything else besides a horrible person.
If Mad Men was today, Harry would be me doing the Milady to all the rules. He would have a fucking fedora.
God.
He'd be a fedora motherfucker.
I mean, I hate Harry so much that any time I see, what's his face?
Rich Summer,
I get angry.
I know,
and
that
that's
sucks.
Not his fault, because I'm like, I'm sure you're a really nice guy.
That sucks, because Rich Summer, from all accounts, because he is a podcast friendly man.
Uh-huh. And he likes board games.
He had a board game podcast. He seems like a nice chap.
I'm sure he's a very nice
but
guy.
Anytime he shows up on Glow, I'm like, fuck you, Harry. And I'm just like, the thing is, though, he plays this very reprehensible
asshole on
asshole
Glow.
On Glow, and I'm like, ah, fuck you, Harry. And it's like, I'm just doing a job.
I know, I feel so bad for Rich Summer. I'm like, I realize you're an actor, but my God, every time I see you, I'm just like, oh, not you again.
He's got a punchable face. He's not a punchable face. I'm not going to punch Rich Summer, but I will say, he's got something about his.
He plays a very good.
And he just has that look where you're just like, ah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's very good at that.
Yeah, man.
But God damn it, I still hate
him. Why is he not white? He should be a much better actor.
He is a good actor.
Not better, but he should be a much, like, he has to be more like
he should be in roles. Things.
Like he should be like a villain in things.
And because just, people hate him.
Because I would just be like, ah, oh, fuck that guy. I hope Russell Crowe comes and kicks your ass. Whatever this movie is I'm watching. Gladiator 2. Or whatever.
Gladiator 2.
Gladiator 2 starring Rich Summer as Julius Caesar. I don't know.
Didn't Julius Caesar die in Gladiator?
No, that was a different. That was Joaquin Phoenix, and he played some other dipshit.
Oh. Yeah. I don't remember.
So Julius Caesar's still fair game for the Gladiator sequel that I'm casting right now.
Is he getting stabbed in the back? This is the only question I need to answer.
Yeah. So she goes and runs off to the Doom Patrol, and they're arguing with the chief, and they're like, "Chief, you're an ass." Basically, you're like, "Chief, you're an asshole, and you're only caring about this woman." And he's like, "Yeah, well, if it wasn't
too bad.
Basically, he's like, "Yeah, basically, he's like, suck it, you know."
Basically, says suck it. He does the DX thing. Says suck it.
Yeah.
Right there.
And so,
now we get a recap of like, because that's when the last girl comes in and she's like, wait, don't be mad at him. Remember how you came to be? Let's recap your origins and talk about how Chief. Convenient. Yeah. Chief fixed you.
It's like, Cliff, you fell from a car and we put your brain in a robot.
And then you, I don't know, you got radioactive and now you're creepy looking.
Yeah. Basically, the Negative Man.
Yeah.
Was a test pilot that went too high up. And
He
Icarus himself. Lost. His skin became translucent. That's why he looks like this. Mm. Even though he still got hair.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. He became radioactive, but then Chief was like, hey, I'm going to wrap you in some bandages.
I'm going to turn you into a mummy.
I'm going to turn you into a mummy and you'll be okay. And he's like, fine. But, you know.
I mean, like, those are some good bandages. I know anytime I use an ace bandage, it falls down.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean, this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, they're not only are they good, but they also, like, somehow, like, are so tight and perfect that they also capture all his facial features.
Right? It's weird.
And they're perfectly around his lips.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there are, I mean, basically, they're just arguing, and, you know, she's just being a dick.
Because he's a dick.
He is just being the shittiest Professor X wannabe.
He's really terrible. And so they leave.
So,
you know what? Screw this.
Robot Man and Mega Man are like, all right, let's put on some trench coats and get the fuck out of here.
And then Black Vulture, who I'm assuming has just been hanging out waiting for people to get mad at this guy.
He's been sitting on a branch the whole time and nobody has noticed him.
For 117 issues, just waiting for people to get pissed at this guy.
Well, it wasn't 117 issues. It started as My Favorite Adventure, Adventure, and then, yeah.
However many issues, this guy's been waiting.
Okay.
And he's like, oh man, finally. He's going to be alone, and that's when I'm going to wander in, and I'm going to kick his ass. So
what happens here is then...
Elastigirl.
So Elastigirl is like... Oh, good. Okay.
She gets mad at Madame Rouge.
Well, Madame Rouge... So she's like, look, tell my girlfriend what the deal is here. And and Rita is like, yeah, well... Chief is like a father figure, and there's never been really like a mother figure in this Kroger family of freaks or whatever.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, well, now they brought in the bad woman and the children are upset. And she's like, how dare you call them children? Now they start fighting. And then Rita threatens to like beat up this woman, and then Rita leaves. Both women leave.
Well, Rita leaves, and then Chief's like, bitches, calm down.
Right.
And then Madame Rouge is like, hey, no man tell me what to do.
Right. Don't call me a bitch.
And so she leaves too.
So she leaves too.
And so Chief's just sitting here like, I'm alone.
I'm so sad.
It's like, well, you suck. I mean, you say you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah, you're garbage.
And so he's sitting there, and then the vulture guy does a little whistle, and then an actual vulture comes through the window and starts attacking.
It's kind of like that scene in Batman where the bat goes through the window, except it's a vulture.
Because it's a vulture, and it's funny. I don't know if there's ever...
Well, he's got like a battle wheelchair.
Well, okay, yeah, well, we're getting to that. So basically, he starts shooting he's like, ah, shit, a vulture that's trying to attack me. Well, how about I shoot you with like a rocket?
Yeah.
And then the vulture's like, well, I'm going to fuck you, I'm going to pick you up. And the chief is like, well, I'm going to grab your fucking neck pile drive you.
What he says here is like, hey, vulture, haven't you ever heard that if a man loses the use of his legs, all of that strength goes into his arms?
Is that true?
know that is not true. I mean, unless he's like at the gym, like working on those arms, he doesn't just magically get super strong arms.
He's not. Is he supposed to be? Was it Joe Swanson from Family Guy? Just like just fucking.
You're
buff?
Probably just like super buff up top. Yeah, like, but I'm like, you're not at the fucking gym doing this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he like grabs this vulture by the neck and he just. Like whams it like right on the ground.
He does a fucking iconoclasm to this fucking bird, and then our buddy, you know, the vulture guy, Black Vulture, is like, how about I send you a bunch of hummingbirds, you know, that have like, poisoned beaks.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, whatever. I got like a fucking gun.
Yeah.
I got a mini rocket launcher with electronic tracking equipment
in the back of my wheel.
In the back
wheelchair.
Of my wheelchair.
So then the vulture comes in and he, then there's another gun and then there's like fighting.
Well, so the vulture man, the main man.
Yeah.
Cause then Black Vulture's like.
Oh, that's right.
Cause Black Vulture's like, he's like, all right, you know, enough of this bird shit. Time for the man bird to come in. And he, as he's saying this, like, and you know, the Niles goes, of all the, a bird man.
Yeah. And he's also, and the vulture's like, it's me, Black Vulture. And then and dude's like, what?
He's like, what?
Like, he's like, don't you remember who I am? And he's like,
nope.
Nah.
Nope. Nah, man.
Nah, man. No. Doesn't ring a bell. He's like, yeah, man. We went to high school together. He's like, no. He's like, yeah, we sat next to each other in trig class.
You know,
no.
then I met you. You know, you met my girl. You were dating that girl.
Homecoming together, junior year.
You were dating that girl, and then I went to another school, and you met me because. You were friends with her, like, you guys were girlfriends. So you had a girlfriend, and she was friends with my girlfriend, and I went to another school, and I came to the bonfire, and I wasn't supposed to be there, and everybody wanted to fight me, but you were like, hey, man, what's your name? And then you were pretty cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, well, okay, once I subdue you, I'll make sure you know who I am.
Right.
I'll get our yearbooks.
So the... Here, let me get the yearbooks. So the chief, thankfully, has a machine gun
sure.
in his thing, and the machine gun jams, and so now instead of some, I don't know how the fuck this is, because
he has
chief,
a panic room basically.
Well, no, well, chief's thing not only does a panic room, but his wheelchair is motorized, so that he could
get to the panic room.
Get to the panic room, and. The you know, so then so just to kind of, I'm just gonna recap this real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the vulture is like, well, now he's in a panic room, so I'm just gonna start throwing bombs at this metal door in this building.
And let's just real quick, we have to talk about. He blows his whistle, and then the most American thing I've ever seen shows up.
There you go. Yes.
It is a bald eagle clutching bombs in its claws.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
there's a bald eagle carrying actual fucking missiles, like it's a fucking G.I. Joe action figure.
Yes, and it's gonna do basically a bombing run on this thing. And honestly, I feel like if our government were to see this picture, this would become our new American flag.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you'd have to like tattoo a gun on the bird somewhere.
Yeah.
So he like drops the bomb.
Actually, this would be a good tattoo to have.
If you're like a Marine or something?
Or just like into fighting.
Just like...
If you're just fucking American as fuck,
I'm just
know,
like, I really love America. I'm going to drink this like Budweiser's or whatever.
If you're just really intense and you're just like, man, yeah.
MAGA
just,
hat.
Yeah, if you're wearing a MAGA hat, you definitely want to get this tattoo.
Yeah, I can see that. So he blows up and can't get through the panic room. And then as that's happening, Robot Man is just like walking down the street and he sees a dude... crossing the street, and he's like, oh my god, you're getting hit by a car. So he like runs over and he saves the guy.
Turns out Stan Lee.
Blind Stan Lee. But the Robot Man saves him, and he's like, man, I should beat you. Oh wait, you're a blind man.
Yeah.
He's like, I saved your life, but I should like beat you senseless because you almost got hit by a car.
He's mad that the guy was just walking into the street and that he had to save him, but then it turns out since he was disabled, he's like, oh.
Oh, wait. And then he's like, oh no, I've left another disabled man completely alone. Which
I mean, he's not really, I mean, he's doing okay.
He's fine, man. He's got a souped up
wheelchair. And when you left him, he was there with Rita and Madame
he's good.
Rouge, so why?
He's good.
He's fine.
Yeah, don't
he's
worry.
He's got salami in the fridge.
Yeah, no, he's fine, man. He can take care of himself.
Yeah.
But Robot Man's like, oh no, I better go save him. So as that's happening, Negative Man is also thinking, like, that he should go.
Basically, not, yeah, Negative Man gets like a, has like a, like a thought that Niles Calder is talking to him through a cloud.
Oh yeah,
like he's
a lot
like
of cloud people in these books.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Dude, Batman and Superman are talking through clouds.
Yeah.
We saw a cloud today that looked like a dick.
We sure did. There, we were driving home, and I said,
"Speaking of dicks,"
I was like, "Speaking of DPs." There was a cloud in the sky.
The sky got DP'd.
Oh, literally
God.
Looked like a penis.
What am I even doing? I hope nobody ever listens to this.
No one listens to this.
Nobody listens to this. Actually, we had a pretty good bunch of numbers. I feel like
no one will ever listen to it again.
Yeah, no, we're just trying to guarantee that nobody listens to this show.
Pretty much.
This is the last show.
Every single episode we do is the last one.
So, so basically, yeah. So then the Cliff, Robot Man, runs into a park, into a public park. Make sure you knew that. Public park, and he just pushes over like a mount, like a cornerstone for like near a fountain, and apparently it's got like, it's like fucking Zelda, and there's like secret stairs in there and shit. And he goes, if anybody spots me, I'll tell them I'm collecting fountains.
What?
And then he goes, ugh, which I'm, is he upset about his joke, or is he straining? I think,
that's a really good question. Maybe that was just the writer going, I really ran out of time to fucking work on this. Ugh. So then they go into the house. That's where, and Robot Man is there. And Negative Man like sends his negative being right at him.
Well, here's what's happening. Okay, I want to point this out. So he goes into the house, and he apparently turns on the closed circuit TV.
Uh huh.
And he sees in full color, an eagle throwing bombs at a metal door, while a man in a purple purple vulture costume watches. Right. And he's like, oh shit, I better go stop this. So he picks up like a random statue, and he's like, I'm going to go throw this at this eagle, right? And then just as that's happening, Negative Man shows up and is like, hey, somebody's trying to do something in there. And, they meet up, and there's like, oh, we try to, they realize they're both there.
Right. And so they go down, and there's like a fire at the door.
We'll have, okay.
The panic room, there's a fire.
Because Vulture throws enough bombs at the door so that the metal door will open.
Yeah.
And then Niles Calder, who's been sitting there the whole time, instead of just going to all these fucking doors, he's just been waiting. And he's like, ah, shit, I better go now again. And he speeds away in his wheelchair through a door that has a bunch of fire around it. Fire right. In front of it.
But he doesn't get burned.
No, he doesn't get burned, but
so as the vulture's gonna like come through the fire, all of a sudden like Negative Man and Robot Man show up.
Yes.
Robot Man throws, oh, and the vulture has like rocket powered boots or something.
Yeah.
So that happens, and then that's when Negative Woman
Elastigirl.
Elastigirl shows up, and she's like looking through the window, and she's like, oh, time for me to like slap people around. She like breaks through the wall.
Yeah, like she just kind of just slaps the building open.
Yeah.
She's like, ha ha, fuck this.
And then so she's inside with the rest of them, and then bats show up.
Yeah, because then
that's upsetting.
Well, what happens is, apparently the vulture guy is also like, I also control bats.
Yeah.
And so this frequency is going to fuck up your head, and Robot Man just explodes because he's made of like paper mache.
Yeah, his head pops off.
And yeah, it was not only that, like his arm falls. Literally his entire body falls apart.
Yeah.
And they're all fucked up. And then he whistles again, and then out of nowhere.
Yeah, none of this makes sense. Out of nowhere. An entire band of Native Americans on horseback appear. They come charging in the door. And they're like, literally, like, if you were going to be like, hey, I want to watch a really old Western movie, and the way Native Americans are portrayed there, where they're like wearing a loincloth and like a feather and like holding an axe, that's exactly what these people are. And they just show up, and you're like, wait, what?
Yep.
Wait, what?
I had to kind of like go back because I was reading this book and I was like, did I skip a page?
No, they just show up.
They just show up.
And you're like, wait a second. So the lead guy, whose name I believe is Whitefeather,
mm-hmm.
jumps off the back of his horse, takes down this guy. And then when they come to, Elastigirl's like, I need to be racist right now.
Oh, this book gets super racist out of nowhere. All of a sudden,
it just takes a fucking left turn, and now we're racist as shit.
Yeah.
Because she literally walks up and she goes, yes. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, first I want to point out, they unmask the Black Vulture.
And he looks like
Clint Howard. Howard. Yeah. It's 100% this is Clint fucking Howard.
It's Clint Howard, and... They're like, oh yeah, he forged a shit ton of documents.
So Niles comes out from behind his firewall.
Yeah.
And he's like, ha, motherfucker.
He's like, oh, I do remember you.
I do remember you. You're Clint Howard and you're a piece of shit. Yeah. I was assigned to check the validity of some documents some land.
Yeah, he forged a shit ton of documents.
That this Clint Howard forged some documents.
Yes. So saying that he had the tribal deeds to a shit ton of land in California.
Yes.
So
all of a sudden, this not only has become racist, but it also becomes like the plot to Superman Returns.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's a land dispute.
It's a land, because DC loves their land disputes.
Yeah, he's like, well, he got busted for forgery, so he spent some time in jail, so that's why he's so pissed off. And it's like, but this also prevented this guy from taking Whitefeather's tribal land. And I'm like, which I'm assuming the government then just took.
Possibly.
Because that's, that's it. And then she, like...
So then Elastigirl...
That's when Elastigirl, like, walks up to him. Now, mind you, this guy is the most stereotypical Native American you could ever imagine in your life.
Uh-huh.
And she walks up and she puts her hand up, kind of like...
How,
that whole shit. And she goes, yes, but... how your people get them here so fast, Whitefeather? And you're like, what?
And then,
wait, what?
To which Whitefeather responds, we, quote, fly them here, ma'am, in my private jets. And Niles is like, yeah, he's my homie. He teaches aerodynamics at Caltech.
Yeah.
But he happens to have full tribal dress and horses. We didn't point this out. It wasn't they just came in, like walked up a bunch of stairs. They ran upstairs to save Doom Patrol.
There's like 10 of them on horseback. They just ran up 10 flights of stairs in a fucking New York City building.
I don't think it's New York. I think they're a different town.
But you know what I mean? It's like a...
Yeah, it's
like
a metropolitan area.
It's a metropolitan area in one of those just regular buildings. Imagine like a 10-story office building and somebody just runs fucking 10 horses up those stairs.
Imagine you're at work in your office and a bunch of fucking dudes on horseback fucking ride their things up.
And they're just like trying to get up.
Not using the elevator, but somehow they manage to get the horses up without breaking those horses' legs. You know, because, I don't think horses like stairs.
How did they know any of this was happening?
Because Chief, I think,
did he call?
I think he gimmicked, something. He was like, yo, my wheelchair also my wheelchair could also quickly alert...
My friends?
My friends.
But also, where exactly are they located? The Doom Patrol.
I think the Doom Patrol were, maybe I don't know particularly in this issue, I believe they were in Kansas City, but that could be in the new one.
Okay, well, at least if they were, but still, that's a good 2.5-hour flight from California in today's time.
Uh-huh.
So, has this been going on for three hours?
But also, mind you, they flew with horses.
Right.
Oh, maybe it was like...
They had to get their horses to the airport.
Maybe it was like Kroll. Where they rode the Clydesdales.
Oh, yeah, those like fire
the fire, the
mares.
Fire running...
Fire mares.
Fire mares.
Fire mares.
These are fire mares. They borrowed them from the set of Kroll to get to here so fast. That's the only way I can explain it. That is the only way you can explain this.
It's just like, wait, what? And so then they're like, well, let's all be friends. And by the way, I'm totally going to bang Madame Rouge. And they're like, okay, cool. And that's the end of this issue.
Well, they have this little thing here, which, I mean, this book cannot be vaguely racist, or actually it's just racist.
Oh, it's flat out racist.
Flat out racist. Like, later the swinging, quote, redskins leave, but there's some red faces remain. Oof.
What the fuck is, I mean, like, there's...
It's like, stop with the race.
They came out of nowhere.
I forgot about this, I've read these before, and I'm just like, oh, man.
But that's the thing. They came out of nowhere. It wasn't like they were in the beginning, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, my friend Whitefeather from Caltech is visiting, and he was in, like, the first couple panels.
Oh, I don't think these guys ever showed up again.
They just appear, and then they're gone. And you're like,
what?
What? It makes no sense.
So, yeah, so he flat, you know, so basically they're all sitting around and he's like, look, we all need to keep together. And if I'm the father figure around here, this is Niall saying this. He's like, you know, what I say goes, and Madame Rouge stays as long as she needs to. What do you say? And they all go, yes, Papa, which.
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, Daddy. Daddy.
Oh, Daddy. Is this when the DP happens?
And then Ron Jeremy shows up as a pizza boy.
Yeah, he's like, do you mind?
Let the DP commence.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and that's how this ends. It ends with some DP.
It's such a weird book, man.
Well, it's Doom Patrol. They are not.
I mean, it was fine. I had no, like, it was fine, and then it took a left turn into racism. And then it was like, oh, but here's, it's over. They're gone now. And you're like, what? Why? Were you just like, was the writer just like sitting there being like, I got to watch Gunsmoke today. I got to finish writing this. I know Native Americans.
Arnold Rick was just sitting around. It's like, oh, you know, I forgot to do that. I forgot to be racist. Honey, was I racist today? I better write this down.
It's like, somebody tell me if I was racist against Native Americans answer was no. I got to get on this.
Was I outwardly offensive to indigenous cultures here in our country? Because I forgot to do something. Picked up the laundry. I took my zinc pill.
Yeah.
What else did I forget to do? Oh, that's right.
We ate some sort of salad gelatin thing that's like an abomination that people in 40 years are going to go, what the fuck's wrong with you? And now it's time to be racist.
That's time, and
horribly offensive.
Now it's time to start have one of our characters talk to a Native American like he's a fucking savage.
Ugh. Yeah. That's something that happened. 1968, people.
1968. Doom Patrol, number 117 from February 1968. Do you want to read the next issue of this?
Does the next issue get weirdly racist?
No, it just gets weird.
Weird's fun. Yeah, I have no problem with weird.
Yeah, no, it gets weird. Okay. And then in a few issues, they die.
Okay.
It's great.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. This is the last... Because that's the thing about Doom Patrol that everybody always, you know, talks about. You know, is that they were, you know, a pop, they were a comic book,
mm-hmm.
you know, that became popular, and then it wasn't as popular. So they were like, well, okay, well, let's just go ahead and end this. But instead of just being like, hey, this is the last issue, goodbye.
Like they're dead.
They're just like, oh, let's kill them.
Yeah.
You know, and then years later, they were like, oh, let's bring them back. And, you know, now they have their own TV show.
Oh, man, they're so excited.
Which hopefully will not include vague transgressions against...
Horrible stereotypes of Native Americans.
Stereotypes against Native Americans. Hopefully they're not using this as source material.
Yeah, because they're like, California, that just means you guys look like Plains Indians, right? Same thing.
Yeah.
You're like, no, bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's another thing, too. It's like, oh, all Indians look the same.
Yeah, everybody looks like Plains Indians. Fuck it. There's no difference. And you're like, wait, but what if there is? And he's like, fuck it, just draw it.
Draw it! God damn it, you draw it!
What if there are a whole bunch of different cultures? Fuck you, draw.
Nope.
Feathers!
More feathers!
More feathers, more war paint!
My God, guys. What? Yeah, yeah. That's something I was reading this, and I was just like, wait. Oh, shit, wait, what? Anyways, that was Doom Patrol. I've read this entire book, so yeah it's an interesting book. The yes. Doom Patrol stuff is very very weird, and everybody talks like, oh, it's so much like X-Men. It's like, yeah, but X-Men, like, Doom Patrol, I feel like, did not take itself nearly as seriously.
No, well, I mean, it was, yeah, no, it did not.
Well, it's a fucking robot and a guy that has no skin and a woman who
stretches. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, it's similar. It's like, no, it's not. It's too fucking, it's way out there. Yeah. So, that's it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Send us an email, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And of course, you can also leave us a rating and review if you think we deserve it. That would be really cool. We would love to get some more 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or whatever it is you get to show. We would really appreciate your support. So thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk again soon.
Bye.